News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
And one more comment on this. Dan in Cork. The issue with the generation of 18 to 29-year-olds is expectations. Their perception is they're worse off. The reality is completely different. Ciara is spot on here with her perma-crisis comment, says Dan in Cork. So that's one view of that National Youth Council report. Let's get a different view now from Sarah McGuinness, Assistant News Editor of the Business Post. Sarah, 18 to 29-year-olds believe they're worse off than their parents' generation. Are they right, or is it just perception?
Well, no, Shane, I don't think there is research to back this up. There actually is research to back this up, which isn't cited in the Youth Council survey. But just to kind of take this back, like, this is, you know, this kind of idea of being worse off than your parents' generation, it's not new and it's not really intrinsic to Ireland. This kind of alarm has been sounded across all many Western economies where there was very fast economic development in quite a short period of time, like really from the 1950s onwards. So I understand that the Irish situation has various idiosyncrasies that people might agree with, people might not, but there are economic realities, unfortunately.
What are those economic realities? Because the view we've been getting is that, say, compared to 20, 30 years ago, young people have way more disposable income. They eat out more. They, as the whole country does, they eat out more, they go on holidays more, they drive better cars, they have Stanley Cups that cost €120. Those are the kind of arguments for it.
I can understand the perception of that, but really, so there's a 2021 study from the ESRI, and I'm not factoring in all of those other things. I can't really speak to them. I don't personally have a Stanley Cup, but I know many people who do. So I'm aware that those realities also exist. But basically, a 2021 study from the ESRI found that each new generation to enter the workforce earned more than the one that came before them for the last 60-ish years. Mm-hmm. However, once the financial crash hit, the kind of young adults that were coming out of that was no longer the case. Wages stagnated in real terms. So that means that when inflation was factored in, you know, adults who 20-year-olds in the 1990s were earning as much as 20-year-olds in the 2010s, when, you know, that was never the case beforehand. And then also, home ownership is a huge part of financial security. So obviously home ownerships are dropping. They're way lower than they were previously. That is playing a factor.
I think the housing issue is undoubtedly massive.
Shane, I completely understand your point about the disposable income thing. And, you know, COVID actually did have a bit of a correction factor. You know, employment was back up to where it was before the crash. You know, that wage stagnation had eased a little bit. But like this whole concept of I'm worse off than my parents, I do understand how it sounds.
The counter argument, Sarah, would be your parents' generation had a 20% chance of being unemployed. There was rampant unemployment, for example, in the 1980s, and it was just seen as a fact of life. One of the points Ciara was making, we were chatting about this earlier, and I actually think she has a point here, that largely due to social media, there is a constant sort of perception or narrative about crisis, you know, housing crisis, cost of living crisis, immigration crisis, and that has a negative impact, entirely understandably, on young people's perceptions.
Yeah, I would say that I suppose if the world didn't have social media, it probably would feel like a nicer place to be in. I would also say that, you know, in certain cases, removing yourself from that, it's not ignorance, that's a poor choice of word, but, you know, not knowing can be blissful.
And I absolutely accept the point, and I'm not suggesting we should all be in blissful ignorance, but narratives form on social media. And one of the narratives on social media is this country is a kip that has huge problems that nowhere else has. And actually, that's not true. And that has an impact on people's perception as well.
Yeah, like social media is a very negative space, full stop. You know, like I totally do agree with that point. And I think that, you know, the kind of financial, the kind of, sorry, mental well-being side of things that are being cited in the survey, like are definitely, social media probably does have to play a role in that. I don't think that's anything new. I don't think that's anything intrinsically Irish either. So like completely do take those points. And like in terms of the kind of whole perma crisis thing, yes, lots of people are dramatic on social media, and there are lots of people kind of wallowing about their own situations.
And
But
how do you feel? Sorry to cut across you, Sarah, but I mean you're obviously a young person. You're a success. You're doing very well in your career. I mean, do you feel negative about the future, or do you feel positive about the future?
Well, I'm quite a positive person. I like work to be quite a positive person. I don't feel negative about my own future. I've definitely had mental health difficulties in the past, but you know, whether they're related to being a young adult or what, like I don't know. I feel like most people, the rates of people experiencing mental health issues of all ages is quite high.
Yeah, true.
But like, you know, there are certain things about my future in Ireland that I don't feel super
Is
positive about. You know, like,
housing the main one?
yeah, housing is, and I think it's an important thing to look at this survey. This isn't, I don't, I would prefer not to look at this survey as young people giving out, but as opposed to it, this being another strain of the housing crisis. You know, like if you don't have, if you're relying on your parents or a family member to kind of keep a roof over your head, like you don't have that financial stability. If you're relying on a landlord to keep, to like allow you to stay in that house and to not put up your rent, that's not as financially secure as being able
No,
to
no
own your
argument.
own
Yeah,
home.
no, fair point.
Like,
Absolutely fair
and
point.
that is going to create a sense of apprehension. And then also, if there's this kind of culture of, you know, that doesn't really matter because there are investment funds who will buy those houses, or there are landlords who will buy those houses, that's going to create this culture of kind of, why would I stay here? You know, there was someone in the survey who she basically kind of said, she's in her late 20s with her partner, and she said, I never thought I would be one of the ones to leave, and now I am, and that's really
Just
sad.
out of curiosity, going where? Because Australia, there is a housing crisis as well. All the same
Well,
things are being said. England, there's a housing crisis. The Netherlands, there's a housing crisis.
this particular lady is going to New Zealand. So I have no idea about the New
Okay.
Zealand housing situation.
I no idea myself either. Anyway, listen, really good to talk to you and to get that perspective. Sarah McGuinness, Assistant News Editor at the Business Post. Thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast. Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106. I think Sarah makes some very valid points. I think housing is key to this. And if we can address that, I think we'll be.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.